reading from the first letter of Peter. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight people, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord. Father God, through the written word and the spoken word, open our eyes to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Today we move to a section of the Bible that considers our need to stay faithful to Jesus and loyal to our faith, even when it's difficult for us to do that. Staying faithful to Jesus is often really tough when times are difficult. Sometimes life throws us obstacles, and we really can't make sense of our faith in the light of what's happened to us. We might get mocked or bullied for being a Christian. Friends, family, work colleagues, employers may not make it easy for us. And the temptation can be to either stay quiet about our faith or even give up on it altogether. So if that's how you're feeling today, or if you're wondering about what it is to have hope in difficult times, then this letter from Peter is for you. And Peter begins in verse 13 by giving hope to believers who are suffering for their faith. Now, who will harm you, he asks, if you're eager to do what's good? Peter is really anxious to encourage his readers to find out what's good and true and just. And he says that even if you suffer for doing the right thing, you're blessed. Don't fear what other people are afraid of, and don't be intimidated, he says. As Christians, clinging on to our faith in Jesus, there may well be times when we might feel that we're intimidated or we're being misunderstood for what we believe. But Peter tells us we've got to hold on to our faith, and we've got to stand up for what we know is true and right. It's more than likely that at times we are going to be misunderstood. But Peter says we've got to, in our hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. And not only are we to follow Jesus, even before those who misunderstand us for what we believe, but also we've got to be ready to defend our faith to anyone who asks from us an account of the hope that we've got. So we've got to continue speaking out our faith, despite any opposition we might face. We've got to declare Jesus to a world that often doesn't believe, doesn't want to believe, or is really hostile and opposed to the message of Jesus. And what's unique about the Christian faith, as Peter notes, is the hope that we've all got. Yeah, it's really, really simple. Our hope is that God goes with us through our lives, and God will always be there for us. Nothing more than that. Now, you might have seen in films or on TV some of these street evangelists, people who stand on corners arguing and debating their faith with other people. Maybe they are evangelizing. They're trying to bring the word of God to other people. Often when you see them in these films or these programs, or sometimes when you might see them in real life, you see people who are mocked for their faith. They're mocked for daring to stand up and talk about Jesus. Or you might see people trying to argue with the speaker as the speaker tries to make their point. But quite often, they carried on, dogged and determined. To stand on street corners and evangelize to other people is not something that we can all do. I certainly know that's not one of the talents that I've been given by God, to stand on a street corner and share my faith by debating it with other people. For those who can do that, for those who dare to do it, I would take my hat off to them. I think if I were in that position where I had to stand up there and debate my faith, I'd be really nervous. Would I say the right thing? How would I react in an argument? Would I break down and run away when the argument gets confrontational? But God will use us, and God will use the talents that we have. And sometimes it's the simple words rather than the in-depth arguments that have the most impact when we're talking about our faith. Sometimes just declaring that we have that faith in Jesus in the first place is enough. We should never be shy to share the gospel with other people. But for Peter, the guiding principle in sharing the gospel must be that we do it with respect, love, and with compassion. There's a sense that we've got to show respect to other people when we're talking about our faith. But when we're talking about our faith as well, we've also got to remember that we do it in the presence of God. And so when we're talking about our faith in God, we're also accountable to God for everything that we say. And Peter says in verse 16, keep your conscience clear so that when you're maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. In that passage today, we're urged to share the good news of Jesus, even during the times when we might be misunderstood, even when we feel intimidated about sharing our faith, or even when we're worried about what's going to happen to us or the arguments we're going to receive when we dare to say that we're a Christian and talk about our faith. It's hard to do it sometimes, but we know that God understands how hard it is for us, because God too has experienced misunderstanding and the feeling of being maligned through the person of Jesus. And Peter reminds us exactly of that in verse 18. For Christ also suffered, he says. But Peter is really careful that we don't push the comparison too far. So he says that Jesus suffered once for all and reminds us that unlike us, Jesus suffered for our sins, not his own. Because, as Peter goes on to say, the righteous suffered for the unrighteous. We spend a whole lifetime coming towards God as we journey through our time on earth. And on the other side of the grave, we'll continue journeying into the heart of God for all eternity. because we're imperfect, we're never going to fully arrive at the destination. But we do continue to move towards God's glorious presence. And of course, that's been made possible for us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Peter says, he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And so the idea is simply this. The resurrection of Jesus announces that he's king over all creation. There's nowhere for unclean spirits to take refuge. Wherever they seek to avoid God, Jesus is going to come to them and proclaim his dominion over them. Because we rejoice in God's creation, and we rejoice in Jesus, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And in the truth of Jesus, we can stand, and no amount of suffering or persecution or false accusation will remove us from the truth, because our hope is firmly set on Jesus. That's both our inheritance, but also our salvation. Peter wrote to a group of Christians who were facing the possibility of persecution. And these people needed to know that they were going to be safe and secure when they stood up for their faith. They needed to know that God would be there for them. And in this passage that we hear today, Peter gives them the reassurance that they need, but also gives to us the assurance that we need. Because each one of us is going to face the possibility that we'll be intimidated or misunderstood as we share our faith with other people. That's part and parcel of sharing things and sharing truths. Not everyone is going to receive them or receive them well. But we've got to be prepared to stand firm in our faith. We've got to be prepared to stand up and give an account for our faith if and when that account is demanded from us. And we can do that because we've got hope. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the message of Jesus. Our hope is in him, and we can stand firm in that hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.